Yeraisa.
Today's Amud is Sukkah Chav Gimel Amud Beis. We're holding on Chav Gimel Amud Beis, the first line, by the word Umi Amar. So we mentioned on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, a machlaikis between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, whether or not a person could use an animal as a wall of his sukkah. Let's say he has already two walls for a sukkah, he doesn't have material for a third wall, could he use an animal for his third wall? Rabbi Yehuda said that a person could use an animal for the third wall, whereas Rabbi Meir said that a person is not allowed to use an animal for the third wall. And the question is why not? So Abaye Shita is that the reason why Rabbi Meir said a person cannot use an animal for the third wall is because Rabbi Meir is chayish lemisa. Rabbi Meir is chayish that maybe the animal is going to die. The wall won't end up being a 10 tefach wall. The animal will fall down or shrink. And we won't have a kasher or a third wall. The person may not realize. And therefore, Rabbi Meir said that the person is not allowed to use an animal for the wall of a sukkah. So presumably that means that according to Abaye, it comes out that really the machlekes Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is whether or not we're chayshe shlamisa. According to Rabbi Meir, we're chayshe shlamisa, and therefore you cannot use an animal as a wall for the sukkah. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, who said that you could use an animal as a wall for the sukkah, it must be because Rabbi Yehuda is not chayish lemisa. That's not something you have to be chayshish for, you have to be concerned about, that maybe the animal is going to die. So says the Gemara on that note, Umi Amar Abaye, did Abaye really say that Rabbi Meir chayish lemisa, v'Rabbi Yehuda loy chayish lemisa? Is that really Abaye Shita? Abaye Shita is that Rabbi Meir is the one who holds chayshinan lemisa, and Rabbi Yehuda holds lo chayish lemisa? We have a member of Abaye where he seems to say mamish the opposite, that it's Rabbi Yehuda who holds that we're chayshinan lemisa, and Rabbi Meir holds we're not chayish lemisa. So how did we get to that? But now we learned in the Mishnah. Bas Yisrael, Shanisa is Lekayin. If let's say you have a Bas Yisrael, a lady whose father is a Yisrael, he's not a Kayin, he's a Yisrael, so she's called a Bas Yisrael, and she marries a Kayin. So now the halacha is that a Kayin is allowed to eat Truma, but not only is a Kayin allowed to eat Truma, his family is also allowed to eat Truma, his children, his wife, we're going to discuss his wife, his wife's allowed to eat Truma. Now his wife's only allowed to eat Truma as long as she's married to him. If they get divorced, or if he dies, so then she's not allowed to eat Truma. So here we have a case of a Bas Yisrael, she married a Kayin, v'halach b'ayilu l'medina sayam, and her husband, he had to go away, he had to go across the sea, he had to go far away, for whatever it was, and so now her husband's gone. They didn't have cell phones. She had no way to call her husband to know how the trip went, if her husband's still alive, what's doing. She has no way to know anything. So the question is, is she allowed to eat truma? Does she have to be chayshesh that maybe her husband died? So the halacha is like this, is that eichelas betruma becheska shuukayim. The Mishnah over here in Gittin says that she's allowed to eat truma. She could assume, using the chazaka, the meikara, her husband was alive, she could assume that he continues to be alive until she finds out otherwise, and therefore she's allowed to eat truma, even though she has no way to contact him, she has no way to call him, find out anything about him. The halacha is that she's allowed to eat truma. It's called chazaka de meikara. She could assume, cheskas chayim, she could assume that her husband's still alive until she finds out otherwise. Now, Uramin and Allah, now we ask the stira on this Mishnah and Gittin from a different Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hareze Gitech Shah Achas Kaida Misasi. The Mishnah over there also, it says that if a husband gives his wife a get, and he says that he only wants the get to be chal a moment before he dies. Reasons for to prevent Yibum, why a husband doesn't want his wife to be an Almana, she'd rather her be a Grusha. So therefore he says to her, give her a get, and he says that the get is chal a moment before I die. This way she never ends up becoming an Almana, she'll always just be a Grusha. As soon as the husband dies, it will be Nesgala that really the moment before that, she was really divorced. Then she won't be Nafali Yibum, she won't have to do Yibum. So a husband gives his wife a get, and he says that the get is chal a moment before I die. So the halacha is that asura le'echo b'truma miyad. Already right then, as soon as the husband hands over his wife this get, she's not allowed to eat truma anymore. And the reason is because at any moment her husband might die. Being that at any moment her husband might die, at any given moment, this might be the moment that's the moment before her husband dies.
this moment might be the moment before he dies. Being that every moment might be the moment before he dies, she can never eat truma, because at that time she's going to be divorced. She's not going to be allowed to eat truma. So therefore, from right now, she's not allowed to eat truma, because she has to be chayshish every moment that maybe this is the moment before her husband's death, and really she's divorced. So that seems to be a stira. The first Mishnah, or it could be even the same Mishnah, in the beginning we said that the halacha is that she doesn't have to be chayshin and lamisa. If her husband goes lamedina sayam, she's allowed to eat truma. She doesn't have to be chayshish lamisa. And over here the Mishnah seems to be saying that she does have to be chayshish lamisa. And if her husband hands her a get and says that it's chal a moment before he dies, the halacha is right then and there she has to stop eating truma. Now, Va'amra Abaye said to answer the stira that like Asha, it's not a stira, it's a machlokes. Ha Rabbi Meir de loy chayish lamisa, ha Rabbi Yehuda de chayish lamisa. It's a machlokes. Or Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the sheet of Rabbi Meir is that we're not chayish lamisa. The sheet of Rabbi Yehuda is that we are chayish lamisa. Now, why does Abaye assume that is the sheet of each one? We have to make it into a machlokes to answer the stira. Fine, but why does Abaye assume that it's Rabbi Meir that's not chayish lamisa and Rabbi Yehuda that is chayish lamisa? The Tanya, because we learned in the Braisa. The Braisa says like this: if a person he buys wine from a kusi, now for our intents and purposes, in this sugya, this kusi does not have the status of a guy, in the fact that his wine is automatically usser. The stam yayin of a guy is usser. This kusi does not have the status of a guy, but at the same time, the produce that you buy from him, he's not makpit to take off the trumas and maisers, so therefore it's vaday tevels. Now you have to take off trumas and maisers. So if a person buys wine from the kusi, who presumably did not take off trumas and maisers. Now the problem is that this yid who bought the wine from the kusi, he bought the wine from him right before Shabbos. And now it's already coming into Shabbos. He doesn't have time to take off trumas and maisers, but he needs the wine for Kiddush, for Avdallah. He needs to have this wine. He doesn't have time to take off trumas and maisers. So what should he do? So the halacha is like this. Aymer, the purchaser, this yid, he says like this, that shnei lugin, two lugin, for we're going to assume now that there's 100 lug of wine, that there's 100 measurements of wine in this bottle. So he says that 2 of the 100, which is the same thing as 1/50th, 2 of the 100 lugin, sha'ani asid lahafrish, that I'm going to separate as truma gedayla. That's the first thing that he separates as truma gedayla. So the 2 lugin that after Shabbos I will take off from this bottle, harehein truma, I'm making them already right now that it's truma. So I didn't designate it yet exactly where these 2 lugin in the bottle are. The 2 lugin that after Shabbos I'll take off, that's going to be retroactively the 2 lugin that I'm making right now into truma. That's called breira. That's what he says. That the 2 lugin that on Matzah Shabbos I'll take off, he's only going to drink some of the wine on Shabbos. He doesn't need the whole bottle. He just needs to make Kiddush and Havdalah. He'll leave over some of the bottle. 2 lugin that he will leave over, 2 of the lugin that he will leave over, that's going to be truma. Asara Maiserishin. 10 of the lugin is going to be maiserishin. Maiserishin, a person takes off 10% of what's left after truma gedoyla. So technically, really, after he took off 2 lugin, there's only 98 left. He should only have to take off 10% of 98, which is 9.8. The Gemara says 10, Taisa says is lav davka. We're just choosing rounded numbers. So he takes off another 10, or he says that another 10 that I'm going to take off on Matzei Shabbos, that already I'm designating as maiserishin. Tisha, 9 of the remaining 90, which is 10%, again, lav dafka, rounded numbers, but 9 of the remaining 90, that's going to be Meiser Sheni, which is also a 10% of what's remaining. So 9 of the remaining 90, that's going to be Meiser Sheni. So, of what he's going to take off Matzei Shabbos, that should be Meiser Sheni. Umechal, and right now already, he's paida the Meiser Sheni, he redeems it onto a coin. Rashi explains that being that he's able to do an easy fix to make it that there's no Meiser Sheni in this bottle, so we have him do that. Even though there's still going to be truma and maiserishin, but if we could get rid of the maiser sheni, so let's get rid of the maiser sheni. So he's paid the maiser sheni onto a coin. So now what's inside this bottle now is chulin wine. It's not tevel anymore. He took off trumas and maisers. Part of it is chulin. Part of it is truma gedayla. Part of it is maiserishin. The truma gedayla and maiserishin will separate Matzei Shabbos. V'shaisa miyan, and right away he could drink from the bottle, and we'll say that whatever he's drinking is considered the chulin part. What he takes off Matzei Shabbos, that will be retroactively what was the truma and the maiserishin. This is called breira. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that that's the eitzah for this person who bought the wine from the kusi, that's what he could do so that he could have wine for Shabbos. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Eisrin, whereas Rabbi Yehuda, and included in Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, they all say that it's Aser. Now, the Braisa, at least so far, doesn't say why not. Why do they say that it's Aser? Why can't he do this Eitzah? Right now, the Baye seems to be assuming that the reason why Rabbi Yehuda and his Chaverim, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, are asering a person to do this Eitzah is because they're choishesh that maybe you're never going to get the chance, much as Shabbos, to take off the other two Lugin and the 10 Lugin for Maaser Rishon. Maybe on much as Shabbos you're never going to get the chance to do that. And do you know why? Because maybe the battle's going to break. And if the battle breaks, you're not going to be able to take off the Truma and the Maaser. If the battle breaks on Shabbos, it's going to come out that when he drank the wine for Kiddush Friday night, he was drinking Tevel because he never ended up taking off the Truma and the Maaser. He wasn't allowed to do what he was doing. Or maybe it's not Tevil, maybe it's a problem of drinking the Truma. But the point is that this whole shtick that he tried to do didn't end up working if the bottle breaks. And therefore, that's where Rabbi Yehuda holds that it doesn't work. Now, the bottle breaking is like considered being Chayshin and Lamisa. So, says Abaye, you see from this Braisa that the sheet of Rabbi Meir is that we're not Chayish Lamisa. That's why Rabbi Meir holds that you could do this shtick. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that we are Chayish Lamisa, we have to be concerned that maybe the bottle is going to break and therefore you can't do this trick in order to be able to drink the wine. So says Abaye, that's the answer to the stira in the Mishnah in Gittin. The Mishnah which says that we are Chayish Lamisa, that's going like Rabbi Yehuda. That which it says that we're not Chayish Lamisa, that's going like Rabbi Meir. But in Yanenu, it comes out, we have a stira in Abaye, because Abaye in Gittin seems to be saying that it's Shitas Rabbi Meir who holds that we're not Chayish Lamisa, and in Sukkah he seems to say that it's Rabbi Meir who holds that we are Chayish Lamisa. That's why you can't use an animal for a wall of the Sukkah. And it's the same steer in Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda in Sukkah, Abaye seems to be understanding, holds that we're not Chayish Lamisa. Abaye in Gittin seems to say that it's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda who holds that we are Chayish Lamisa. So says the Gemara, Epoch. Now we should just switch it around. That Rabbi Meir Chayish Lamisa, for Rabbi Yehuda Loi Chayish Lamisa. That when Abaye answered up the stira in the Mishnah in Gittin, he wasn't answering it up using this brisa about the buying the wine from the kusi. We'll get back to this brisa about buying the wine from the kusi in the following share. But Abaye was answering up the Mishnah in Gittin by saying that it's Rabbi Meir that's Chayish Lamisa and Rabbi Yehuda that's not Chayish Lamisa. And what was his raya that Rabbi Meir is Chayish Lamisa? It's good for our braisa, the tani, like we learned in the braisa, that asa lebehema daifin lesukah, Rabbi Meir paisa, Rabbi Yehuda master, that Rabbi Meir doesn't allow you to use an animal for the wall of a sukkah, and Rabbi Yehuda allows you to use an animal for the wall of the sukkah. Clearly Abaye holds that we're chayish lamisa, Rabbi Yehuda holds that we're not chayish lamisa, and that's the answer to the stira in Gittin, that it's Rabbi Meir that's chayish lamisa, like we see in sukkah, and it's Rabbi Yehuda that's not chayish lamisa, also like we see in sukkah. We'll have to answer now in the following share, what are we going to do about that brisa now about buying wine from the kusi? That we seem to have the opposite shitas, that Rabbi Meir holds that we're not Chayish Lamisa, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that we are. But in terms of this stira in Abaye, we answered the stira. There's no stira in Abaye. Abaye is consistent now. Abaye always holds that it's Rabbi Meir that's Chayish Lamisa, and Rabbi Yehuda that's not Chayish Lamisa, and that's why he allows a person to use an animal for the wall of the sukkah. Now we'll stop here, but we'll just mention an interesting ha'ara. The Magen Avraham in Siman Tav Kuf Pei Vav, in the Lachis of Shofar, so the Magen Avraham seems to make a klal that you can never use a behema that's not kosher for a mitzvah. He's talking over there in Hilchos Shofar. He says that you can't use the horn of a behema tmeya, of a non-kosher animal, you can't use such a horn for the mitzvah of shofar on Rosh Hashanah. It has to be mina mutter b'picha. It has to be that when you use for a mitzvah, has to be something which you're allowed to eat. Being that you're not allowed to eat a non-kosher animal, so you can't use the horn of a non-kosher animal. It's part of the rule, mina mutter b'picha, you have to use something which is mutter for you to eat. That's the klal of the Magen Avraham in Siman Tav Kuf Pei Vav. in Tshuvas Neida Bihuda, in Madura, Tinyana, and Arachayim, Simon Gimel, so it's printed over there, a tshuva from the son of the Neida Bihuda, Rab Shmuel Landau. The Neida Bihuda was Rab Yechezkel Landau. Over there it's printed a tshuva from his son, Rab Shmuel Landau. And Rab Shmuel Landau, the son of the Neida Bihuda, over there he asks a kasha on the Magen Avraham from our sugya. In our sugya we saw that the sheet of Rabbi Meir is that a person is not allowed to use a behema for the wall of his sukkah. Now we mentioned the Machloikas Amorayim as to why not. Rabbi Meir says it's because Chayish Lamisa, that Rabbi Meir is Chayish Lamisa, being that maybe the animal will die and it will pass through your wall. That's why you cannot use an animal for the wall of the sukkah, as we've discussed in this year. The Shita of Rabbi Zeira that we had in the previous Talmud, Rabbi Zeira's Shita is that the reason why Rabbi Meir holds you can't use an animal is because of a concern that maybe the animal went away. And the Gemara was trying to come up with what's the nafkamina between the two explanations, the explanation of Abayi and the explanation of Reb Zeira, and the Gemara's first attempt of a nafkamina was with regards to using an elephant as the wall of a sukkah. So the Gemara clearly seems to be saying that you're allowed to use an elephant, a peel, as the wall of a sukkah. The question is, Frecht, the son of the Neida Bihuda, Frecht of Shmuel Landau, that an elephant is not kosher. It's not mina mutter bepicha. So how could you use an elephant for the wall of the sukkah if it's not mina mutter bepicha? Frecht of Shmuel Landau on the Magen Avraham, how could you tell me that it's a klal by all mitzvahs that you need mina mutter bepicha? If so, how could you use an elephant for the wall of the sukkah? So now you could say perhaps that maybe it's not considered a problem to use a non-kosher animal for the walls of the sukkah because al shem eschach kariya sukkah. The ikar of the sukkah we've mentioned many times is the schach. So maybe it's only the schach which has to be kosher but not the walls. Al kapanim, that's not what the Neida Bihuda answers. Rather, what he says over there, it's brought in a Haggah over there in the tshuva over there, in one of the Haggahs in the tshuva. So it says like this. He says, Rabbis Bishanim Achar at Pasas HaSefer, after many years that I printed this Sefer, that's why this answer now is written as a Haggah. Rav Shmuel Landau writes a Haggah on the tshuva. He says, after many years, Nisgalali L'chalik V'svara. It was Nisgalit to me to make a chiluk. To make a logical chilek between these two cases, the case of the Magen Avraham of Shofar, and the case over here of Sukkah, it was nisgalali, it was revealed to me to be mechalek. And what's the chilek that he says? He says that by Shofar has to come from an animal, it's the horn of an animal. That's where the Magen Avraham says that it has to be a kosher animal, it has to be menamutar bepicha. However, when it comes to the walls of the sukkah, it can't be that it has to be something which is mina mutter bepicha, because it doesn't even have to come from food. It doesn't have to come from an animal. You could use sticks and stones as the walls of the sukkah. And therefore, being that you could use all different types of things, there's no klal of mina mutter bepicha. The whole klal of mina mutter bepicha is only when you have something which needs to come from an animal, or an animal part. So then, that's when the Magen Avraham said, mina mutter bepicha, that you can't use non-kosher animal for your shofar. However, when it comes to the walls of the sukkah, even the Magen Avraham would agree that you're allowed to use a non-kosher animal as the walls of the sukkah, being that the walls of the sukkah aren't limited to being coming from an animal. Now it's interesting when Rav Shmuel Landau writes this teretz, he writes that it was nisgalali l'chalik b'svara. It was revealed to me. So now l'chayr, you could say nisgalali is another just way of saying it was I had siyata d'shmaya. It was derech anivus. He was just saying it was nisgalat to me. Hashem put it in my mind. B'siyata d'shmaya. I didn't really deserve it, but it was nisgalat to me to be mitaritz. Like this. That's l'chayra what would be the pashup shat in what he means when he says it was nisgalatim. However, that deres has a sefer zachar l'david. And in this sefer, he has many different kuntresim, and one of the kuntresim that he has over there, that deres has a kuntres where he brings different chidushei Torah that were mentioned by gedolei achreinim that they came up with in their dreams. And so over there in Ayz Vav, he writes, it's on page Samaches in the sefer zachar l'david, he writes over there, he brings from the Sefer Birchas Maisha, that the Birchas Maisha, Reb Maisha Mizlachev, he writes that in the year Tov Kuf Tzadi Dalet, he was visiting the city of Prague, and he met up with Rav Shmuel Landau, who that he was the son of the Neida Bihuda. He met up with this Rav Shmuel Landau, and Rav Shmuel Landau told him over this Chiddush that his father, the Neida Bihuda, told him in one of his dreams. That Rav Shmuel Landau, one night, he went to sleep, and he had a dream, and his father, the Neida Bihuda, Rav Yechezkel Landau came to him in a dream, and he told him this teretz to answer up the kasha that he had on the Magen Avraham. So when he said, it comes out, when you go back to that Haggad now, in the Tshuva of the Neid of Yehuda, where he says it was Nisgala to me, to be metaretz the Magen Avraham, to answer up the Magen Avraham for our sugya, Nisgala to me means he really meant that it was his father, the Neid of Yehuda, who came to him in a dream, and told him this teretz. The Adaris, after when he brings this shtickle Torah from the Neid of Yehuda, who told it to his son, Rav Shmuel Landau, in his dream, he writes that not only did the Neid of Yehuda answer up Reb Shmuel Landau's kasha on the Magen Avraham, but through this we have an answer to the Neid of Yehuda's own kasha. This itself will answer up now one of the kashas that the Neid of Yehuda himself asked. It's also a kasha asked by Rabbi Kiv Eger in Megillah on Rashi, in Megillah on Chavdal Damabez, where Rashi over there says that you can't use gold to cover up the tefillin. And Rashi says, why not? Because it needs to be menamutar bepicha. And the kasha is, so what? Why can't you use gold? Technically, you could eat gold. Gold's not usher to eat. What does Rashi mean that you can't cover the tefillin with gold because it needs to be min hamutar bepicha? Says the Adaras, based off of this chilk now that the Neid of Yehuda said, we could explain Rashi. And again, this is a kasha that the Neid of Yehuda himself and Rabbi Kiva Eger ask on Rashi Megillah. That what does he mean that you can't use gold because it's not min hamutar bepicha? Well, since when can't you eat gold? A person could eat gold if he wants to, but says that there is based off of this chiddush that we just said from the Neid of Yehuda, we can now answer up for Rashi. The chiluk the Neid of Yehuda said is that any time you have something which doesn't have to come from an animal part, it could come from all different types of materials, so then there's no klal min hamutar bepicha. Now by tefillin, the halacha is that when you tie it all together, when you wrap it up, it has to be made out of kosher animal parts. It has to be min hamutar bepicha. That's what Rashi means. From the fact that we find in Chazal that tefillin needs to be min hamutar bepicha, it must be you can't use gold. Because if you are allowed to use gold, then there would be no klal of min hamutar bepicha. That's what Rashi means. You can't use gold because it's not min hamutar bepicha, and therefore, not that you can't eat the gold, but you can't eat the gold, and then there would be no klal by tefillin of min hamutar bepicha. From the fact that we find by tefillin that there is a klal of min hamutar bepicha, that's what Rashi means, that you can't use, that's how Rashi knew that you can't use gold to cover up the tefillin. Now, besides the Gishmaka Chedushe Torah, you see that we said over, you see here what it means, a deeper meaning in the Pasuk Vegisa Bayayman Velaila, to learn Torah day and night, that if a person puts his mind to Torah, he's Zaycha to even hear and come up with Chedushe Torah even in his sleep. It's interesting that Darius himself, he wrote this contrast where he was malaki different Chidushe Torah from different Gedolei Achreinim that they came up with in their sleep. That Darius himself, when he was Nifter, he left over a contrast of his own Sefer called Bechalei Medaber. A contrast of his own dreams, where he was Mechadish Chidushe Torah, or Chidushe Torah were Nizgalatim in his dreams. This is something that we find in many Gedolei Torah, that they were Mechadish many Chidushe Torah in their dreams. Or Chaim Pelagi, throughout all of his Sfarim, you find many, many places where he writes different Chidushe Torah that he came up with in his dreams. And I just saw recently also, they just put out Taima Dekra from Chaim Kanievsky on Tehillim, right over there in the Hakdama to the Sefer. So they bring also some Chidushe Torah that Rav Chaim said over, that he was that were Nizgalatim in his dream. Rav Tzadik HaKoyin says, that's what it means, Vagisa Bayoyim V'layla. Says Rav Tzadik HaKoyin that if a person is Yageya in Torah, Bayoyimam, throughout the day, if that's what he puts his mind to, that he's thinking about Torah throughout the day, so then Vegisa Bayoyim V'layla, so then the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives it to him also B'layla, and even in his dream, a person is able to think in Torah. It's the ultimate litmus test, the different Dachreinim bring, that the ultimate litmus test for a person's Ruchnias is to see what he dreams about at night. A person who's mamish puts his head into the Torah, so then he's Zaycha to even hear Torah in his dreams, we should all be Zaycha.